Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Ministries. I am your humble host, your humble servant of God, with a voice of a warning to America and her churches who are spiritually dead. These churches that do not want to preach against sin, they do not want to preach against repentance and hell. They want to stay within their lukewarm and their indifference. They want to leave their Christianity at the door on Sunday and pick it up next Sunday. It don't work that way. They want to have a comfortable life. They just want to blend in. Trust me, this is the mindset of the America churches today, majority of the American churches today, which is leading to the fall of America. Because our nation wants God out of everything, the Bible out of everything, the church being silenced on issues such as abortion and homosexuality and transgender, will we wake up in time before it's too late? I try to remain optimistic. But we're looking, when I look at the world, are we past the point of no return? I pray that we're not. But I believe we're getting close to that point. 3 weeks ago, we started Psalms 4. I believe this is the second part of this. It might be the third part. I think this is the second part. And we kind of got those first four words in Psalm 4, verse 1. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Psalms 4, 1 through 8 again. And we're going to move a little bit closer. Probably look at that second part there, O God of my righteousness, and kind of expound on that tonight. But let's read the psalm all together, because it's just a beautiful song. It was written by David. You can go to that first session or podcast, and I break down the history part of that for you guys. But Psalms 4, 1, hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, hear my prayer. O ye sons of man, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call up to him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of your righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thy up the light of thy countenance upon us. That has put gladness in my heart more than in the time that there are corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep for thy Lord. O awaketh and makest me dwell in safety. So you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, come in your presence, seeking your guidance, seeking your direction, with what you want me to preach on tonight and speak on tonight and teach on tonight. God, have your way. Direct this time. And whoever is listening, Lord, let this be a time of focusing and deep reflection on what the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives. What the Holy Spirit is doing in their lives around those around that are watching. We are called to be the light of this world. We are called to be the salt of this world. We are supposed to shine among the darkness. Let our voices be heard. Let our voices say the one true and holy God, the truth, the only truth, the absolute truth, the only truth that matters is the truth of Jesus Christ. And up, you said, upon this rock you will build that church, God. Upon that truth, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to you. Nobody comes to the Father except those that have accepted and committed and believe that you are the truth, you are the way, you are the life, and there is no other way. We're on that narrow path that leads straight to heaven, that path to heaven, that it can be a challenge when we're struggling with these things in our life and this flesh. We have to die daily. God, give us strength to persevere to the end. Give us strength to endure to the end. God, give us strength. God, I pray once again over this message that you're going to have us go into today, Lord. And I want to thank you for getting us through halfway through this week, God. You know the struggles that we encounter. You know the things that we endure. And we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had to pause mid through the prayer because my dog outside, he was barking, and you guys can probably hear that in the background there. One of the things doing these at home, you may hear some background noise. But so today we're looking at Psalms 4. And we're going to look at that verse, or I guess set of words here in Psalm 1. O God of my righteousness. This whole verse here, David is talking to God. You know, it's beautiful to pray, right? And you know, I really find a lot of strength in prayer. Prayer is very powerful here. You can see it in David's life. You can see it in so many of the Bible people within our scriptures that cling to prayer. And how to pray. And of course the disciples asking Jesus how to pray. Pray is direct communication to our Father. And he wants to hear from his children. Don't forget to pray. I was, of course I've told this before. I was reading an article. And it was a research article. I don't know if it was Barn Group or another credible, you know, a pre- it might have been Christian Post, or it's very credible research article. It said that most pastors only pray about 7 minutes a day, and that's heartbreaking. We should pray a lot more than 7 minutes a day. I know I couldn't make it through a day without praying at least a few hours. Maybe they're a lot stronger than I am. I don't know. But I doubt it. They get busy, really. That's what happens there. And of course, I went over busy before. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. Being you under Satan's yoke. But here's David. He's talking, praying to God, worshiping, praising, worshiping God. He said, hear me when I call. O God of my righteousness. See, David knew that God, the God that he served, is a God of righteousness. He knew he was not righteous. And we are not righteous. Isaiah 64:6 says this, but we are all as unclean things, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as leaf, our iniquity like the wind have taken us away. So our righteousness is filthy rags. You know, we can get very prideful, and I'm not immune from this. And it was easy for David, it's easy for me, and it's easy for us, it's easy for our church, it's easy for our nation to be very prideful, to exalt ourselves above God. We start thinking that we know what, or try to determine what is good by our definition. This is sinful. When me, you, us, our nation, try to raise our name above God, and you're seeing that in America today. Of course, it didn't stop. It didn't start a few years ago. It's been going on for a while. You just look at this month, the LGBT pride, prideful. You see America celebrating it, all the big headers, Facebook, Google, NBC, CBS, I mean, just recently, a few days ago, the NFL got on the bandwagon, announced their support for gay. If you don't believe me, today you can Google, you can search almost anything. Information is numerous. One of the messages of that, I can't remember exactly all of it, said football is gay, football is lesbian, and football is wherever we want it to be, or something of that nature. It's sad. And I haven't watched football games, but this is the NFL, so this is a different, this is pro football, but when I decided to do a full boycott after they were kneeling for the anthem, I just quit watching it. It's just something, my spirit was too convicted and I couldn't watch it anymore. So it don't really affect me. I don't watch football anymore, NFL or college. I just gave it to God and said, you take this from me. Because I used to love watching football. I used to be a New Orleans Saints fan. Would not even miss a game. It's New Orleans Saints merchandise and all that. And you pray over it and let the conviction of the Holy Spirit move you. And what you should do on that. But here's sexual immorality. It is rampant with the LGBT. Don't think this is going to stop. It is quickly increasing. And do not be surprised when you see prostitution as a consider a normal business. Many people don't know that California tried to pass a bill just maybe a week ago trying to create prostitution as normal businesses, such as working at Walmart. They almost got it, but it didn't pass. But you can almost guarantee that it will eventually. And there's these movements for polygamy that's having multiple wives, bestiality, pedophilia as normal, the law of the land. They want to treat transgender as normal. Well, pretty much they are doing that. And where are the churches? Where are the voices crying out? There are a few, but there's only a few. You see, America churches and her people have lost. They have lost this concept of what God is. God is a righteous God. And it's through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of him, of God in him." True children of God, we have what we call a borrowed robe of righteousness. It's not ours. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments, that robe of salvation." The garments of salvation. He had covered me with a robe of righteousness. A bridegroom decked himself with the ornaments as a bride adore herself with her jewels. See here, you will see that my soul shall rejoice in my God. Isaiah is saying, "I will rejoice, for he has clothed me with salvation, and he has covered me with a robe of righteousness." His robe of righteousness. And of course, you go to Ephesians 6 over there to Ephesians 6:10, and you read down the armor of God. You have the breastplate of righteousness. It's all borrowed. It's all the Holy Spirit. And of course, in Isaiah 61:10, this was before Jesus was made flesh, right? Before he was born to Mary and Joseph. And this can kind of get a little confusing. We have to keep in mind, Jesus Christ always exists. And of course, I can go deeper with this. Not here, because if I do, it'll be a longer segment. Email me through this website. If you're part of my Facebook friends, private message me. Facebook does regulate my messages, so the best way is through an email on this website. I am on MeWe. They're less regulating, but being censored is just part of the lifestyle now. Facebook censors me a lot, and I'm not on a grand scheme or big like a lot of those big names out there. They censor a lot more, but they do censor me. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, from the very beginning, he was not yet manifest to this world physically through Mary and Joseph. Yes, it can be confusing, and the sad truth that many pastors in America cannot explain it correctly. So reach out to me, please, and if you have any questions on that. But the key here is a child of God, children of God, we have a robe of righteousness that God has given us, the Son, Jesus Christ. So when God looks on us, he sees his Son. John 3:16-21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that is Jesus, and man loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light." Those that do evil, they don't want to accept that righteousness of God. They accept that darkness. But we are opposed as children. We walk in that light. "Least his deeds shall be reproved." Verse 21 says, "But he that do truth, that comes into the light," that we come into the knowing and the saving knowledge of Christ, "that his deeds may be manifest." They are wrought in God. They are from God. It is us recognizing what was done on that cross. The blood that was shed, that atonement on that cross. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission of sin, meaning there is no forgiveness of sin. And of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, we can come right where we are at right now. And we can lay it all, I like to use that word, lay it all on the line. Meaning giving it all. Giving it all to Jesus. Fully committing. And that's where you won't really hear much about the full commitment, the full surrendering your life to Jesus, recognizing that now that you're no longer your life does not matter. Your dreams does not matter in the sense that Jesus should take precedent over your life. Right? And that will throw many people off today because they want to assert themselves above God. And they want to assert their dreams above God. We can still have dreams and we can still have aspirations. But we got to understand those are secondary compared to Jesus and what he wants to do through us. And David understood this. And he understood that he had a robe of righteousness that was not his. It's the same today. We have a borrowed robe from God that is not ours. Romans 3:21-26 says this. But now the righteous God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, if Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, through the blood, that is Jesus Christ, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiatory through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission, his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justify him which believe in Jesus. To believe, to commit, is to put on this robe of righteousness. Amen. Righteousness is very important. Another part here is to really, that kind of goes hand in hand with righteousness, is holy. Holy is actually before righteousness. Our God is a holy God. Holiness and righteousness, they go together. So holiness is one of those characteristics of God, one of those traits of God. He is a holy God. He cannot tolerate sin or sins in our life. Our God is righteous. Our God is holy. He does not accept sin or sin in our lives. That is the fundamental concept that is missing. You got to realize we cannot live a life of sin, a lifestyle of sin. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all and holiness, which without which no one will see the Lord. Without, just listen to Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all, that peace of God and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. These are not foreign concepts. They're just concepts lost, buried. They roll over from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Do not let people tell you that these are old terms and they only belong to the Old Testament. Hebrews 12:14 says otherwise. And see, we are still fighting that carnal nature, right? We still have that flesh. So that is the thing. We're not fully restored yet. We still have to deal with that carnal nature, that fleshly nature. Galatians 5, and I love Galatians. But Galatians 5 16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. At carnality, to walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one of the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So we are to walk in the Spirit. And how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, God has given us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to give us strength to endure. We cannot be holy. We cannot exercise righteousness without stepping or walking in the Spirit. It's when we step out of the Spirit and lean more on our flesh. Galatians 5:16 said this, I say, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the... The more we walk closer to God, the less likely we are to walk in our flesh. And it's very quick, and I speak from experience, to get in the flesh, to get carnal. It's a daily, that's why Paul said, I die daily. It is a surrendering daily. It's not just a one-time event and everything's going to be wonderful. You have to endure this life as a soldier. You have to wake up in the morning with a mindset, and I pray that you do that. You wake up early and you look at a few scriptures and you pray and you seek God's guidance for the day, and then you step out into the battlefield, right? And you got to endure. Maybe you're at work and you're going to get hit with things, because I get hit with things, and you're going to have those thoughts running through your head, and you go like, hey, wait a minute, that's not God. That is Jonathan. Don't mean I'm not a child of God. It means that there is a war that's raging in me. Right? And we all have that. It's when we learn, and what I have learned, when we learn to lean more on Scripture, and I'm not perfect, I promise you. And we learn to focus our eyes more on God and through prayer and of course, fasting. And fasting, I encourage you guys to fast. There's a power in that. It's lost. You will not hear many people talking about fasting. And some say, well, you're not supposed to talk about fasting. Well, here's the thing. How did we know that Jesus fasts? Well, he told somebody. Now, he didn't brag about it and boast about it. That's the key. When we sit there and say, oh, look at me, I fast for 4 days. Woe is me. I want everybody to know it. I'm making a grand show of it, then there's problems, because it's not about God anymore. It's about you doing it, and then all that is in vain. What is what he's speaking of? No, we should tell, I fast, I seek God. It humbles my flesh, it humbles my spirit, breaks me. Yeah. You see, when we pray and we study and we fast and we seek God through praise and worship, we walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Galatians 5:17, for the lust, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against flesh, as a as that battle. These are contrary to one another. They are. So that you cannot do the things that you would. So, but if you led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Of course, there's a list here. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revealing such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what Paul is saying here is a lifestyle. You're okay with it. You want to live in your sin and still be saved in it. then you truly are not saved. Because sin, as I've said multiple times through the years, sin breaks God's heart. And it should break ours. We should not be okay. I know in this, I list some of my sins in this passage. And you can go deeper and it can speak of lying. It can speak of, you know, thoughts, right? Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman, I'll tell you, men, we have issues. We do look. Not because, I mean, we're men, we do that. But it's not acceptable. It's not supposed to be, oh, well, I'm a man, so I should do it. No! It should convict our heart. It should chasten our spirit. It should leave us to repentance. For godly sorrow is the works of repentance, right? To repentance, to salvation. Our God is a righteous and holy God. And when we look at here, this is what David is doing. This should be part of our prayer, right? Our praise and worship. You know, if we really think about it, when we go to church, most churches, especially here in the South, they'll do a few songs. That is praise and worship. That is getting the heart in a position. So we're praising His holy name. We are saying, you are righteous. Thank you, Lord. And we're praising and we're worshiping Him. And we're getting our heart softened. I pray for the message that the man of God, and I pray that he has seek God throughout the week to what the Holy Spirit laid on his heart, or laying on his heart to preach that day, to give to the congregation. And you receive it. Some of the words may be tough. Yes, the Word of God, truth, can be tough. And we receive that, right? And hopefully it helps us grow, and hopefully it gets us where we're looking, taking our eyes off ourselves and placing it on Jesus and saying, hey, you know, this, it's time for me to get out there and do some witnessing. It's time for me to get out there and to live my life different. It's time for me to get out there and stop being that lukewarm and indifferent Christian, and get and to be that Christian, that disciple that God needs me to be, especially as this world gets darker and darker by the day. Praise and worship. It's beautiful. So that's kind of the message for tonight. Take home message tonight is, our God is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And when we start our prayers out as David did in this prayer, He's speaking directly to God. He said, here I'm calling. You know, when we get on our knees and we started out in prayer, here I am, God. Here I am. He knows you're there, but you say, here I am, God. And that's what David said. Here I call, God. Here I am, God. Your humble servant of this humble broken vessel. Here I am. This filthy rags. My righteousness stinks to you, and I'll recognize it. Thank you, God, for that robe of righteousness. Thank you, God, for your righteousness. Thank you, God, for letting me walk today in the spirit, more in the flesh. God, keep my mind focused on you. Keep my heart focused on you. Oh, take this flesh and crucify it at the cross. Oh, let me crucify it, Lord. Let me pick up my cross today and follow you. Wherever may I encounter, let it point to you. Whatever struggle I have, let it point to you. Oh, you are righteous and you're holy, and I am not. We humble ourselves before a holy God. We humble ourselves to a righteous God. And our hearts should hurt as His does for this world. As they glorify their sin, their pride, their gay pride, their LGBT pride, as they celebrate the killing of millions and millions of children and saying this, it's an honor to do that, and they're celebrating abortion and murder. It should break our hearts. We should be on our knees crying out to God early in the morning, say, Lord, I don't know what's going on with this nation. Why? Turn our hearts back to you. Fill the churches, those true churches proclaiming the gospel, the true gospel. Fill them up. Let those people within those churches go out as an axe, and it multiply left and right going out there because they're looking. They say, hey, you know, this person's different. I want to tell you, if you're sitting there talking every which way at work, at school, you're cussing a lot right along with them, you're doing vulgar jokes, talking about all this garbage, when you try to wit, you're destroying your testimony. You're destroying it. And when you try to glorify God, they're going to look at you and laugh. Maybe not laugh in your face, but they're going to laugh inside. Now look at him trying to say something. Hypocrite. That's what they'll say. Look at that little hypocrite over there. Just got done cussing and talking every which way, and now he wants to glorify God and tell me about Jesus. I don't want his Jesus. His Jesus is the Jesus that you only have to go to church on Sunday. I'd rather go on my fishing trip or my hunting trip or go on vacation. Why should I give my Sunday up? That's a true mindset, by the way. That is a true mindset. Let's stop there for tonight. We didn't get very far. Next week we'll try to get a little bit farther next week. Look at that. The other parts here on verse 1. I know we haven't really, I think it's the second sermon or preaching series on this. It's, hear me when I call, O God of my righteous God. The Holy Spirit just wants me to go really slow through these passages for whatever reason. So the first sermon was on, hear me when I call. Second is, O God of my righteousness and righteous and holiness. And I encourage you guys to go through the scripture and look up righteousness and holiness and study it. The third part will be, Thou has enlarged me when I was in distress, and have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. I'm going to try to do all three of those, and we may get a little bit farther on that. So if you guys have once any questions, please contact me through Facebook. You can contact me through this website. Once again, you have any questions, please get a hold of me. I enjoy hard and difficult questions. I encourage you guys to ask them. Do that when I'm at church physically. Anybody that has any hard questions, I do a lot of studying, I prepare myself for hard questions because we need people that can answer hard questions, not stutter and look like you just slapped them in the face because they haven't studied. They don't even need to be in leadership roles at that point. They need to take a year or two and study their Bible better, my opinion. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity to go over your holy scriptures. Lord, I pray that the message tonight just resonates with whoever that needs to hear it. Lord, I pray that it enters the heart. I pray you know where they're at in their lives. You know what's going on in their lives. You know the struggles, you know the temptations, you know the weaknesses, you know where they are. God, I pray where they're at right now, God. I don't know if they're saved. I don't know if they're lost. I don't know. All I know is Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only answer to all the problems going on in our lives. He is the solution to all. He is the true hope of all. He is the anchor within everything else hangs on. Without that anchor, that solid anchor, we will drift away into the rocks and be shattered into a million pieces. God, I pray, Lord, that our mind is more focused through this rest of this second part of this week, that we're focus more on praying and seeking your face. God, I pray that our hearts are broken and humble before a holy and righteous God. That we seek that prayer time and we seek that devotional time. We seek that reading of the scriptures, Lord. We seek a deeper and closer walk with you. We seek to walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. We seek to be that light to the world, that our conversation is different, that the way we behave is different. We don't look like that lost person. We don't look like that person that does not know Jesus, and we're supposed to be that example, that modeling them for them. God, we have dropped the ball. But the thing is we can pick it back up. And we can run with it, not because of our strength, because of the work that was done on the cross. Sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. All that sin, that atonement, all the sins, they were nailed on that cross. Our Jesus suffered so greatly, the blood that flowed for the atonement of our sins. Oh, there's power. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the wonder-working power of God. Lord, the blood that was flowed, so the pain that He felt, the death that He tasted. Oh God, let's not forget the crucifixion. We know He was taken down from that cross and He was placed in that tomb. And we know on that third day He rose, and He rose from the dead. And oh, death, where is your sting? He conquered it. He conquered the grave, Lord. And that should give us hope as children of God that the physical death has no hold on us. It's only a beginning of something beautiful, Lord. Oh, we'll see our Father in heaven. Holding on to that, committing to that, enduring with that, holding on to that truth of the gospel and pressing forward, persevering to the end with a light shining through our body to those around that will recognize there's something different about us. Oh, how we've dropped the ball where people look at us and they can tell no difference. We look just like the world. We act just like that world. Oh, we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. Our lives are supposed to be different because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us and moves us in that path of holiness and righteousness that we strive for daily, to be just like Jesus. We pray all this in holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.